think we're recording now.
No.
How do I know?
Lights on.
Red light on. You see the ticker time count.
Oh, and the orange? That thing?
And you see the time count on the display.
Okay, yes, here we go. Now, I count on Sister Amy editing out those kind of comments. if you feel like it, huh? Public speakers have one thing in common. They are concerned about communication. Whether it's a politician, a school teacher, an evangelist, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, it doesn't matter. They're all concerned about communication. Now, you know, we watched a series last week on the Roosevelts. Okay, it was very interesting. It was on public broadcasting system, PBS, from 7 to 9 o'clock. And it was actually 2 hours of information. And it was not only historic, but it gave some very interesting insights to Teddy Roosevelt, FDR, and Eleanor Roosevelt. And see, you heard me just say Roosevelt. I read in Sunday's paper, it's pronounced Roosevelt because it's a Dutch word, okay, name of a Dutch background. And the R-O-O-S-E means rose in Dutch. And so the actual pronunciation is Roosevelt. But, you know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So I'm now going back and forth between Roosevelt and Roosevelt. But he was a communicator, both of them, Teddy and Franklin. They were communicators. Whatever, you know, one thinks about their politics and how they governed and what have you, the fact is they were communicators. Now, let me give you some basics about communication. This is not only true for somebody like a politician or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor. This is true for you. There's three basics when it comes to the speaker. What you said, what you wanted to say, and what you thought you said. Okay? And then from the hearer's side, and Sister Ruth Ann has no excuses anymore.
Yes.
From the hearer's side, what you heard, what you wanted to hear, and what you thought you heard. So you see, they're comparable.
Yeah.
What you said, what you heard. What you wanted to say, what you wanted to hear, and what you thought you said, and what you thought you heard. And we often realize this because you talk with somebody and say, well, that's not what I said. Yes, it is what you said. Well, that's not what I meant to say. Well, that's what you said. Okay, communication. Now, from the speaker side, from the hearer side, you got these three factors. Now, here in the middle is where communication takes place. Now, these three come together in the hearer. And if those lines are all straight and clear and clean, we've communicated. But what I want to hear sometimes, it depends on what I'm going through in my life's experience. Depends on how my day's been. And so, you know, you may say something absolutely innocent and ordinary. But if I'm having a bad day, what I might hear is something very accusative. And so, what the speaker says, what the hearer hears, and so on. Now, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, I'm going to turn and read that verse. We're not going to park at it a long time, but I am going to turn to it and read it. Luke 8 and verse 18. Now, verse 17, well, let's start at 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel and putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now, the verse, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. We have a responsibility when it comes to hearing. Mostly we think when we come in at church, we sit in the pew, somebody stands up, Brother Shankles is coming next month. He's going to stand up and he's going to preach.
No.
Okay? And we sit there waiting to hear what he has to tell us. Now he needs to be clear when he preaches. Okay? And we expect that he will not give an uncertain message. He wouldn't be coming if he were. Okay? So he's going to preach to us and we expect certain things from him. But you know, we need to be hearing. Now, if I come in with a bad attitude, if I come in with you know, the hair standing up in the back of my neck, if I've got some problem, then I come in and now I have a responsibility for how I hear what he has to say. How do I hear what he has to say? And that's very important.
Yes, sir.
And that's why Jesus said, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Jesus emphasized the listener's role. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We have a responsibility as listeners. We have ears to hear. And he tells us we need to hear. Now, he that hath ears to hear, that's not just talking about the audible vibrations, okay, that go over the eardrum and what we communicate with the mind as it takes those words. And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention. Pay attention. When you listen, listen for what God has to give you.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, it's a preacher preaching, but it's a message. Do we come just to hear a man?
No.
No, we come to hear from God. We realize that God speaks to us through a man, through a lady. Through a lady? Yeah, Sunday school teachers. Okay? We have Sunday school teachers. If ladies have a meeting and they have a lady speaker at their meeting, then the Lord will speak through that lady to those ladies. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We paraphrase that when we talk to our children. Okay? Fred, what? Listen to me. Okay. No, I mean pay attention. Listen up. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's what God's telling us. Pay attention. Listen up. The way people hear is still of great concern to preachers and teachers of the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 7 says, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. God's sending Ezekiel. But he tells him, the house of Israel, the people of Israel, they're not going to listen to you. So why bother going and saying something? Why sending them? Because the people cannot turn if they don't hear. Even though they may not turn when they do hear. Why do we have to have evangelists come in? Why do we have to have missionaries come in? Why do we have to have two services on a Sunday? You know, a lot of churches are just going to one service. Maybe we could do that. No, here, listen. We hear the message. Have every one of you gotten everything in your life all straightened out? Everything's in order. Okay? God want to come down and stand before you Everything would be just peachy. Well, of course not. So that's why we keep preaching. And then we have an evangelist because they're, first of all, they're a gift of God to the church. In Ephesians, we're told that, I think it's chapter 4,
right,
that the evangelist is a gift to the church. It's not the gift of evangelism.
That's right.
The man
exactly
is the gift, the evangelist. Okay, just like the pastor is a gift. The teacher, and in that case where it says the pastor is a gift to the church, it's pastor teacher. And I believe it's a hyphenated word. But even if it's separate offices, then nevertheless the point is God gives these. Why? Because we can't turn to Him. We can't change things in our life if we don't hear the word. We might not always do it, but when we do it, it's going to be the result of hearing the word. Now, the people of Israel could turn. And the fact that God knew they would not turn did not determine what they would do. See, the fact that God knows the future and the end of something does not determine, He does not therefore determine what's going to happen. But whatever is going to happen is going to come about as a result of the work of the Word of God. Now in Acts chapter 7, Stephen's sermon to the Jewish leader. Several weeks ago I preached on Stephen and his stoning, and he was giving a sermon to the Jewish leaders. It was quite lengthy, and he gave that sermon to them. And in verse 7, 57, it says, "Then the Jewish leaders, then they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to listen. And in this case, they mobbed him. And you recall, they stoned him. And those stones, if you remember, were at least fist size and possibly larger. And they stoned him, killed him. Now, the problem was not the preacher. What he was telling them was the truth. It was the hearers. They had a responsibility to listen to what God was telling them through his servant Stephen. And we have a responsibility to listen to what God tells us through his servants. First of all, our pastor, our Sunday school teachers. We have various individuals that come into the church from time to time, servants of God, who give us a message, and we have responsibility to hear. Nobody is as deaf as a person who will not listen. Nobody is as deaf as one who will not hear. Having ears to hear, but they will not hear. It may penetrate their eardrums, but they will not listen. They will not heed. They will not accept. They may as well be physically deaf. It is a big responsibility that we have to hear the word of God. And so Matthew chapter 13, I read a few verses and then we'll go to prayer groups. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. Matthew 13, beginning to read at verse 14. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed, grown, gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That describes so many people, doesn't it? They don't want to hear, they don't want to see, they don't want to listen, they don't want to heed it, they don't want anything to do with it.
That's right.
Now, here's what God says about you. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now, that's specifically addressed to the people he was speaking to. But he's giving to us the fact that we are blessed when we hear the message. Now think. Don't audibly respond, but think. When was it that you began to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ? Not the time you got saved, but as far back as you can remember.
Yes, sir.
When did you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? May there have been a time when you ignored it, didn't want to listen, didn't want anything to do with it. Thank God for his patience and his grace to come again and tell you again that you could hear again. And then thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit when he tugged at your heart, as we express it, and began to draw you to himself. And you had eyes to see and ears to hear. And whether you had never heard before, didn't grow up in a gospel environment, or whether you were a person who was teased on the pews of the church, however it is that your background is, the fact of the matter is, we all must come to a point that we hear and heed the message. And when we have done so, that's when God saves us. That's when grace takes place.
Amen. That's right.
A prayer burden of a man I once knew. I heard him pray it. That God would help us to hear and to listen. It was that prayer that I heard him pray. God, help us to hear the word. Help us to heed the word, prompted my thoughts and led eventually to the writing of this sermon. That man knew that we have a responsibility as hearers, just like the one preaching has a responsibility. Father in heaven, we pray that your Spirit would help us to hear, to listen. We'll be grateful, Lord, for what you'll do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.